John chapter 15. We are still in this delightful chapter. John chapter 15. Most of you have been here for our study in this chapter, so the context is somewhat familiar to you, it should be, as Jesus is on his way to the Mount of Olives, or Garden of Gethsemane, ultimately, is where we see this band of men with Jesus come face to face with Judas and the temple priests, and they arrest him. But on the way, we know that Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's preparing them for the time that he will be going away. He told them very clearly that's what is going to happen. But they will not be alone. He will dwell within them in the person of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 15, it begins with this illustration of I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And you could imagine that Jesus might have been referring to a vineyard of some sort, or a vine, or a depiction of a vine, to help illustrate this relationship that exists between a disciple of Jesus Christ and his Lord. And the strength of this illustration is in the abiding that Jesus talks about, and the emphasis that's upon that abiding, and the result of that is bearing fruit for the glory of God. We've talked about abiding. We've talked about bearing fruit for the glory of God. And tonight, we're going to talk about how God's love and Christ's love is an integral part of this abiding and relationship that a disciple has with the Lord Jesus. Because let's face it, we can talk a lot about abiding, and we can talk a lot about bearing fruit, but we've got to understand how to make it practical, how to make it something that is true and real and an absolute part of our life for today. The disciples had to understand that too. Abide in me and I in you, Jesus says. Well, what does that mean? I'm sure would be running through the disciples' mind. Let's pick up in the passage in verse 4. John 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, I trust that this passage, especially that verse 11, appeals to the emotion of your heart. I trust there's a tug in you that's saying, I like that. I desire that kind of joy, that fullness of joy. Imagine the disciples as they're walking with the Lord Jesus, and he speaks of this joy that is in me, it might be in you, and that your joy might be full. Verses 9 through 11, we have yet to really dive into, and I want to focus our attention tonight on those three verses. In these verses, we see the main theme here of love. But it is a continuation, I believe, of the illustration we've seen up above with the vine and the branches. So think about the characters of the Father, the character of the Father. He is the vine dresser. Jesus Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. Now, ultimately, it is the Father who is in charge of every aspect of this illustration, the vine and the branches. The Father's the one, he's the farmer. He's the one that makes sure that everything is working well. He's the one that makes sure that the branches are well pruned so that they are bearing much fruit. He makes sure that the branches that are not bearing fruit are cut off, all for the purpose so that this vine would be a very fruitful presence and figure. And so here in verse 9, it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And so you've got to begin to think about, how did the Father love the Son? How did the farmer love the vine? How did he express that to the vine? And what we see here is we see that the Father, he takes great care of these branches. He makes sure that the fruitful branches were well pruned and bearing more. The Father enables the Son to be abundantly fruitful for his own glory, for the Father's glory. The Father took care of the entire vine, showing his all-encompassing love for it. The vine experienced this love of the Father as he did his duties in seeking after much fruit. It is in this passage we see an example of how the Father desires glory. He desires that he be exalted, that he be glorified. And it's pictured here in the illustration of the farmer. He does everything he can with this vine so that it's bearing much fruit. Why? Because it is that fruit that tells the story of the farmer. It is that quality of that produce that says, this is a good farmer. This is a farmer that knows what he's doing, and he cares about what he's doing. The vine pours everything into the branches that the Father's pruned. The love is spread from the Father's care through the vine's connection to the branches. As the Father loves the vine and cares for the vine, that vine pours into the branches, these disciples, and they experience the love of God through the vine. What a powerful picture for these disciples as they are embarking on a lot of unknowns. Jesus leaving, them being indwelt by the Spirit, something they have not really experienced yet. Jesus has said that it will be challenging and be hard. But here what we're seeing is, you know what, disciples, pay attention to that relationship with me. Don't become distracted from who you really are. You're a branch connected to me. You are a branch connected to me, the vine who is being cared for by the sovereign God, the Father, the farmer who knows exactly what he's doing. And it's all for his glory. The love these disciples had experienced was the love of the Father as channeled through the Son. The Son was God's way of showing the world his love. I mean, we can't get around the fact that Jesus Christ coming to this earth was a human depiction of God in his incredible love and grace to you and to me. And here, he's reminding again these disciples of that truth. I mean, indeed, what did he say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. And it's depicted by his sending his Son. And here what we're seeing is how that love is being depicted. It's because the vine pours everything into these branches. So as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And what does he say next? Continue in my love. This continues an imperative. It comes across with some force. And you need to do this, gentlemen. In this passage, you see two imperatives, verse 4 and verse 9. Verse 4, first word, is abide. It's an imperative. It's the same word in verse number 9, continue ye. It's the same Greek word, abide, remain, dwell. Both of them are the imperatives in this passage. And so what does that tell these disciples? That tells these disciples that there is an active role in their relationship with God. There's an active role that they are to be they're to be a part of. This idea of abiding in Christ. Jesus Christ is telling them the vine and the branches, and you're vitally connected, but he is reminding them, you need to abide. You need to concentrate on this relationship, realizing it is your vitality in me. I mean, we've experienced a little bit of this when we will walk away from God, or if we choose other things as priority over our relationship with God. What do you experience? You experience a somewhat of a deadness, a dullness in your relationship with God? I mean, we know a little bit of that. And the Lord Jesus here wants his disciples to know there is incredible vitality here available to you. Pay attention. Abide in me and I in you. The relationship there, it exists and it is true and it is real. But the Lord Jesus wants to remind the disciples of its presence and focus on that. You know, there's so many different things we can focus on in life, right? There's a lot of different things that we can pour our effort into. A lot of things that are calling out for our attention and time. If we were to reduce it all down here to the bare minimums, I would dare say that Jesus Christ here in this passage is teaching us, if you didn't focus on anything else, focus on me and abiding in me. Focus on that relationship with me and concentrate on staying close, receiving the nourishment, trusting in me. There is something he is asking of the disciples here. There is an action they were to take in their own lives. They were to heed Christ's words and live to the glory of God. As we talked about bearing fruit, what does that mean? It means you're living and doing things that are befitting of Jesus Christ, and they bring glory to the Father. They were to rest in the nourishment of. And listen, this is something that I saw, and I want to share this with you. I want to show you some things in this passage that I believe help us to understand maybe what are some things we can focus on as we think about this abiding. They were to rest in the nourishment of Christ's teaching. Look at verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This is logos. This is an idea, and it comprises the truth and the teachings of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus here is showing and emphasizing that what I have taught is what has cleansed you and prepared you for this ministry that I have for you. Rest in the nourishment of Christ's teaching. Secondly, rest in the nourishment of Christ's power. Look at verses 4 and 5 where he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. It your fruitfulness is totally reliant upon Jesus Christ. And so rest in the nourishment of his power. You want to be fruitful for God? Stop trying on your own. Rest in the nourishment of Christ's power. Go to there, go to him, and you'll experience fruitfulness. Rest in the nourishment of Christ's teachings, Christ's power, Christ's will, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. It is here that we see this truth that as you are abiding in Jesus Christ, you will think and desire as Jesus thinks and desires. And you will pray and you will ask for things that are of the heart of God and of the will of God. And you know what? As we abide in Christ, we won't have to worry and be concerned about, is this of God? Because as we're abiding in Christ, that is the bearing and the compass of our relationship. And so therefore, we can rest in the nourishment of his will. Christ's teachings, Christ's power, Christ's will, verse 8, is Christ's purpose. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. You know what? We share Christ's purpose. When we abide in him, we're in agreement. We're here, why? For his glory. You won't have to be concerned about, you know, am I in right thinking? Do I have too big of a head about this idea? Am I too proud or am I too humble? Whatever it might be. No, as we abide in Christ, we rest in the nourishment of his purpose. We come to verse 9, and you rest in the nourishment of Christ's love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And he says, you need to rest and dwell, abide in my love. My love. Rest, abide, dwell in my love. You know that it is that love that is the which has given you life rather than death. It is that love that gives you a security rather than fear. It is that love that gives you hope and a future rather than despair. It is that tremendous love that is a testimony of the Father's love for the Son. It's that love that we experience through Jesus Christ and him coming to earth, dying on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin. Rising again. That's Christ's love. And as you and I, as we abide in Christ, as we rest in him, we rest in the nourishment of his love. Those arms that are wrapped around you and I, providing the protection and security that we need in a world that is full of darkness and fear, tragedy. But his love is there. What to say? Paul's teaching, nothing could separate us from the love of God. That love is so wide and so deep, it says in Ephesians. We can't comprehend it all. It's that love. Praise God. There's love. In verse 10, we see we can rest in the nourishment of Christ's commandments. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If you keep my commandments, he says. You know, we are a people that have a tendency to, we want to rebel against commandments. We don't like rules and boundaries. At least that's what Will said. But I dare say that that's where we find ourselves to be the most comfortable, where we find ourselves to be the most successful, when we are in certain boundaries, when we are adhering to certain decrees and commands. Here Jesus, as he is speaking, if you keep my commandments, you shall, future tense, abide, remain, dwell in my love. Even as, what's the illustration? Even as I have kept. That's a perfect tense. In other words, he has done this in the past, up to the present point, never needing to do it again. I have kept my Father's commandments. And I abide, or I am abiding in his love. You see, that's something we can grab a hold of, right? You know, God's word has given to us instructions, commands, that we're to obey. And it is for a purpose and for a reason. And especially as you look in the New Testament and God's instructions to the church, these commandments are there for purpose and reason, so that we find our security in Christ and in his love. As we are obeying those commandments, we will be secure and we will know we're abiding in him. We're resting in him. That's why you will find in the New Testament different places where it says, examine yourself. Pay attention to your life. The way you are living is testimony to what's going on inside. Testimony to the vitality of your relationship with Christ. We as a church and believers in Jesus Christ, it is clear, abide. Abide in me and I in you, Jesus says. Rest in the nourishment of Christ's commandments. They're there for a reason. They're good. They are a guide for you. If you obey God's teachings and commandments, you will be walking the right direction. You can be assured of that. You won't have to question, because it's clear. Obey him. And finally, you rest in the nourishment of Christ's joy. Verse 11. Joy. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, or might abide in you. Same word as abide here. Might abide in you, and that your joy might be full. You know, God, he knows what we need. He knows what we thrive on. He knows that. And he knows and understands that we can't find true joy anywhere. And we might be happy for a time. We might be happy and enjoy certain things of this earth, but you know, we won't find that true joy here. We only find it in him. And so therefore, as we think about this abiding, rest in the nourishment of Christ's joy. You're looking for fulfillment, looking for happiness, looking for joy. I'll tell you where you find it. You find it in Christ. You find it in him. And all of this, it's nourishment from the vine as a result of that abiding, that vital connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. So where are you finding your nourishment? Are you getting your nourishment from Are you seeking nourishment from Jesus Christ, the vine? Pay attention to his teachings. Realize his power. Enjoy his will. Participate in his purposes. Bask in his love. Obey his commandments. You'll know joy. Joy in him. There are many other passages that you could go to as you think of these things. But I want to just remind you of what John writes in his epistle, first epistle, 1 John chapter 1. And he writes, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, Jesus Christ. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. See the fellowship idea there. Look at verse 4. And these things write we unto you. Why? That your joy may be full. You see, God, he's not this big ogre that wants to make you miserable. He wants to fill you up. His joy. His joy. His joy. Oh, find nourishment in Christ, church. You'll find it there. True nourishment. Thank you, God, for our time, and thank you for the blessings of your precious word, and thank you for revealing these things to us. I pray that you would help us to take these truths and allow us to remember them and apply them this week in our lives. And God, now as we prepare our hearts for the celebration of the Lord's table, Lord's Supper, Lord, I ask that, oh God, you fill us with the joy that comes from knowing that salvation is found in you. It's already been paid for. It is finished. You have said it upon the cross. And you're alive, Lord. You're alive. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.